Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, January 5th, 2021.
Bitcoin's up 10%, 34,625. Holding, it was yesterday reported 31, so it's not quite, well, it's about 10%. That's crazy, man. The big moves in the market, it's great for everybody. Ethereum is also up about 8% to 1,103. So it broke that 1,100 mark today. Got as high as 1150, I think I saw at one point, so it's doing pretty well. Ripple continues its slide, 22 cents. And Dash has recovered a little bit. So Dash and Monero and a few other coins were potentially being delisted from several exchanges. So they all took a hit, but they're starting to recover a little bit. It was an around the world rally today. Pretty much everyone was up except for Ripple.
Great. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So first, DeFi value locked hits $18 billion amid the Ether rally and SushiSwap gains. Just a bunch of stuff going on. $18 billion is a lot.
$18 billion is a lot of money. TVL. I mean, obviously, TVL is a squishy number, anyways, and it's made squishier by the fact that it's being magnificently manipulated by the stock price, by the price of Ethereum itself. We probably should start looking for a better metric than TVL, like very reasonably looking for a better metric that has to do with more about the. I don't know. It's super interesting because it's not a bad metric because it is, you know, in all these things, what you are looking at is you're looking at opportunity costs. Like there's a certain amount of money locked somewhere that could be used to pay for a new garage or could be used to pay for a new restaurant somewhere or an investment in something. And so when people are making those choices, they are deliberately saying that we think that this is a better investment than something else I could put my money into. So in that regard, it is a great metric. In another regard, there's a lot of people who are true believers and have just, you know, who got in when this was like TVL 9 billion and it's just gone up. And like, honestly, Ethereum has tripled since then. So you could almost imagine a world where actually money has flowed out. Overall holdings in DeFi flowed out. But the market, the TVL has actually gone up. But anyways, I think it's great news. Everyone's enjoying immensely. Obviously SushiSwap's doing really well right now. Sushi is, I think, making good headroads against Uniswap. Well, one of these shows will actually go and do a comparison of trades and the metrics across the two to sort of show where the various contenders are right now. But SushiSwap has been doing pretty well. So DeFi is here to stay. We've said it before. We'll say it again.
It certainly is. All right. Also, amazingly, there's $2 billion now staked in Ethereum 2.0.
Yeah, this is, I mean, again, this is just like TVL. This is a little bit it's skewed by the price of Ethereum right now. But at the end of the day, there's 2.2 million ETH that have been locked in the Ethereum 2.0 contract. That is a lot of ETH. Like, you know, ETH is obviously they started at $5, you know, whatever, 3-4 years ago. 5 years ago at this point, but you know, it's still 2.2 million ETH locked in is a lot. 2 billion locked in is a lot. That actually has great, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say that there may be some really interesting implications on the stock, on the price of Ethereum based on that. You know, the price of Ethereum has been going up. You can't, you know, when you lock in this Ethereum 2.0 contract, those coins are gone for the next 6 to 12 months. Like you cannot get them back. Eventually you will be able to, but you cannot go and sell them right now. So everyone who locked and is like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I locked all that money in the Ethereum contract and they can't go and sell it. You know, that has a positive effect on price. Like that's definitely an upward pressure on price. So there's a lot of factors going into it, but I think that is definitely one thing to be thinking about.
Definitely. All right, next, some XRP news. So Ripple investors sue to force a stock redemption on the SEC claim.
Yeah, more Ripple news. Delightful. Ripple is in a whole heap of trouble here. So one of the problems with what happened here, So there's a few different issues here. So one is Ripple is incorporated in the United States, but they actually have presences in other countries. Everyone has presences in other countries at this point. But I think they even have a couple of legal presences in other countries. I mean, their whole goal was to be a multinational bank settlement layer. Now, what happened to the U.S. is obviously bad. So getting sued by the SEC for being an unregistered token is really bad. But, it's going to be hard. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but there already is action happening in the United States. The investors and things in the U.S. are going to have to piggyback on those actions. And there'll be more claims later. But, it is in motion. But for everyone else around the world who actually invested correctly in Ripple, there's sort of a really interesting legal question, which is what Ripple did a breach of some sort of contract? Is it a breach of expectations? Is there liability on Ripple's side because they did not follow the laws of the land, that basically someone from a foreign country could claw back their money? This is not exactly. So this particular one that we're talking about here is actually people who invested in Ripple itself. So this was not in the Ripple, the token, but in Ripple, the company. They actually own common shares of Ripple. And so they were suing to be able to claw back their investment amounts. Again, this that gets a little bit more dicey because oftentimes you have to make attestations to investors about that you followed the law when you did your security offering, for instance. And so they may have some liability there. We'll be really interested. This is I think this is notable and newsworthy because this is the first of what will be very many, many, many lawsuits against Ripple. Hmm. We'll be here to cover them. Mm.
Yeah, and a little bit more. Grayscale dropped XRP from their large cap crypto fund, and blockchain.com joins a growing list of exchanges that are stopping XRP trading.
Yeah, super interesting. I'm not surprised. Obviously Ripple being the third largest, now fourth largest by market cap. We haven't even talked about Litecoin. Like, we should talk about Litecoin, maybe another show, because it is... It's been on a tear lately for absolutely no reason in the entire world, but I am very interested in it. This is super interesting. Good on Grayscale for making the moves. I don't know exactly how they do this because that would be another thing that puts a lot of pressure because they're a market weighted fund, so that's going to be a significant amount. They're somewhere around like 5% of the market cap compared to Bitcoin. So that's a lot of money that's going to have to shift into other coins for Grayscale. One of the things that's really interesting is that we talk a lot about these funds, and some of the funds have actually started to readjust. So with this massive price movement, we love talking about the Grayscale Bitcoin ETF, which tended to be like 1,000% out of whack with the actual price of Bitcoin for their holdings. That's actually come way down. So it's something like 50% overpriced at this point. So this is good for a lot of things. Like, this means that either money, like institutional people, are not putting as much money into... Gosh, what does that mean? It means that there may not be as much on market, on exchange action as there is on blockchain exchanges. So on, the actual ETF exchange market as opposed to the blockchain market, which is a good thing. I mean, I don't, people should be buying Bitcoin itself. They shouldn't be buying proxies for it. So seeing a huge run up in the value of Bitcoin, but then not commensurate on an ETF is really interesting, I guess. I don't know. It's very interesting.
All right. And last, Portugal's tax authority says crypto trading and payments are tax free.
Yeah, I think this is cool. At the end of the day, these things to me always strike me as a little bit on the, gimmicky side. At the end of the day, crypto smells, I know a lot about taxes for crypto. Crypto smells like any other asset that you would own, and if the country doesn't, have taxes on selling stock or selling a house, then they would not have taxes on crypto. But for pretty much every country in the, in the civilized world, they do have taxes on those types of things, gain loss taxes. So, this is, to me, is a little gimmicky for the time being because there's so little money. There's so little money in actual crypto earnings right now that it doesn't really matter. But I would expect this to go away. I wouldn't move your entire family, sell all your possessions, buy Bitcoin, and move to Portugal based on this. It's I don't think it's a long-term thing.
Yeah, but if Portugal's nice.
Portugal's nice. Good
one. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the DeFi Daily. That's all for today.
All right. Take it easy.